Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
All right, hey, tomorrow is Friday, and it happens to be the last Friday before the election. That means the final Reardon round sale will be for next Tuesday. On the panel, Jane Duker, former state senator John Lapping, and John's going to join me on election night with all the coverage. We've done this for the past couple of elections, so I'm very much looking forward to it. We have a huge, huge lineup of people who are going to contribute. John Hancock, who is doing some stuff on KMOX, Brad Young will join us, Jane Duker, Mike Elam from the Kehoe campaign, state senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman, state senator Nick Schwer, the St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman, consultant David Barklage, our friend Scott Fawn from Jeff City, former State Senator Jeff Smith, and also roundtable veteran State Rep Steve Butts, Greg Keller, who is a GOP consultant, all of those and more chiming in as we take you through the evening on Tuesday, no matter how long that might be. With us this afternoon to preview the final days, Carl Cannon, Washington Bureau Chief for Real Clear Politics. Carl, welcome back. How are you?
Hi, pal. It's been a pretty hectic week, and next week's going to be worse.
I know. So let me start with the garbage truck, because that one kind of came out of nowhere when we were wrapping up the show yesterday. Of course, I was talking a lot about the comment from the president, which was dominating the news cycle. And then Trump gets in this garbage truck. I just played all the audio from his explanation in Green Bay. But that you can't really close much better than this, Carl, can you?
He's a showman, isn't he, Mark? he knows how to turn lemons into lemonade. You had this, they had this unfortunate gaffe with this warm-up comedian who Trump never met, who spoke hours before him, used the dumb Puerto Rico joke. And then the mainstream media spent more time talking about that than they did both assassination attempts combined.
I think you're right.
But who rode to the rescue? Joe Biden. Joe Biden took Trump off the hook with his dumb remark about calling supporters garbage, and half the country was triggered. And they thought, okay, I guess Obama said I was clinging to guns and religion. Hillary called me an irredeemable deplorable. And now Biden says I'm garbage. I'm beginning to see a pattern here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, what impact that might have on the race in these final days, that might be unknown. I know that you, when you wrote about this in your morning note today or this week, you basically said, look, and I'm a horse racing guy, right? So I appreciate this. You said in the parlance of the racetrack, this thing's too close to call. It's going to go down to the wire. And everybody has a gut check. I mean, my gut check right now is that things are trending very well for Trump. And I'm seeing polling numbers and Real Clear Politics averages from Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan that are very, very encouraging. On the other hand, we've seen some of these things kind of go off the rails when we make predictions, so it's a little tough right now.
Well, Mark, I wouldn't make a prediction if I were you. I've been avoiding it. And you know what's funny? This may happen to you. You know, you and I do politics all the time. Loved ones, friends come up to me, say to me, hey, come on, like, who's going to win? Like, I know, and
yeah,
we're
no,
hiding
right.
it
I
from
know.
Them. And I, you know, if you get on the Real Clear Politics page and you look at our polling, you know exactly as much as I know.
Yeah.
So... But I will. There's a new CNN poll that has Kamala Harris ahead in Wisconsin and Michigan. So this thing seems like a seesaw to me. It's almost like. But here's the one number that I can't stop thinking about, Mark. In the national head-to-head, Trump leads Kamala Harris. He's at 48.5%. So if he wins the national popular vote, this can be an electoral college landslide.
Yes, it will.
So, you know, those two numbers don't quite go together. How can he have 48.5% nationally and in Pennsylvania? You know, because California is going to give Kamala Harris her home. That's her home state. They're going to give her between a 4 and 5 million vote cushion. One state, New York, she's going to carry Donald Trump's home state of New York by, a million and a half, 2 million votes. How are they going to make if Trump makes that up to the rest of the country and pulls even in the popular vote? It seems to me he's going to win all these battleground states.
Well, because if you kind of dial in on these numbers, what I said earlier is if she doesn't win by 2.5 or 3 points in the popular vote, she is going to lose. I mean, she could still lose with a 2.5 point, you know, national popular vote total. Stu, she could still lose in the electoral vote. But if it's that close, yeah, I have a hard time believing that he's not going to win Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, and the West Coast states as well. Now, one of the things that I'm kind of dialing in on, and we're seeing these trends sort of maybe manifest into something real, is the black men and Hispanic men who, again, might not be pulling that trigger for Trump, but they're not pulling the trigger for Harris right now. And we're seeing some of those numbers come out of Pennsylvania and some of these states. That seems significant to me, Carl.
Well, the Latino vote especially. Look, if Latino men, if he gets almost half a Latino vote or 40, you know, George W. Bush got between 40 and 45%, so did Ronald Reagan. I mean, that's going to help them. But that's the one answer to answer perhaps to the riddle of how he's even in the national popular vote, but also even in these swing states. Two things. One, you've got these groups, African-Americans and Latinos and Asians, young people who are these demographic groups who are not going to vote overwhelmingly for the Democrat the way they have in the past three elections. If that's true, then you start to see the popular vote in California and New York is not as big as I said it was going to be. And then the other thing is during COVID and normal migration patterns, how many New Yorkers have moved to North Carolina? You know, Trump carried that state by, I want to say, just off the top of my head, 3 points in 2016. He carried it by 1.5 points last time. Well, you see, that's not maybe enough New Yorkers and, you know, moved down there to the Research Triangle and something that he pulls out North Carolina, that she pulls out North Carolina. So the other thing is, how many of these red state people moved into red states and brought their political attitudes with them, which is frustrating because, you know, they moved to Texas from California because they don't pay taxes, but then they vote for the kind of politicians who are going to raise their taxes. But that's, we can have that discussion some other time.
Yeah, that's baffling, but it's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you, you know, I don't know if there's a good answer to what the Senate landscape is looking right now, because there still are some weird anomalies with that, certainly in Arizona and Nevada. But you're going to have people that are going to vote for maybe Democrat Senate candidates in some of these states. And I don't know if that is going to be the deciding factor in Pennsylvania. But so I had Celina Zito on yesterday. And look, I think that as Trump goes, maybe is what McCormick ends up doing, or vice versa in Pennsylvania. But these races are going to be very close. Not so close maybe in Nevada and Arizona with those Senate candidates.
We don't have as many ticket splitters in this country as we used to. I was thinking about this. The first campaign I remember, Mark, was in 1980 in California. Ronald Reagan's on the ballot. He wins, you know, handily. He wins California's, where he had been governor twice, you know, by 1 million votes. But Alan Cranston, one of the most liberal Democrats in the Senate, was on the ballot, and he won by like 800,000 votes the same day. He had all these hundreds of thousands of ticket splitters. People don't do that anymore. You know, when I was a kid, people say, I vote for the man, not the party. Well, now they pretty much vote for the party, which is not necessarily good for the Democrats in these, you know, in these states where these Senate races, because if you're voting for Trump in Michigan, why aren't you also, it's an open Senate seat, why aren't you also voting for the Republican? So to me, I agree with Celina, and she knows Pennsylvania really well. I think if Trump carries these states, the Senate races may go Democratic too. And, excuse me, Republican. And also, remember that they've already got trouble because John Tester's going to not.
Well, he's going to lose.
Been ahead.
Yeah, in Montana,
we haven't been
right.
in a single poll. He's yeah. down 4 or 5 points, and that's not a landslide, but he hasn't been in any poll we've had since he got the nomination. And that's so. And West Virginia's gone. So that's two seats right there. Now, the Democrats say that they can win in Texas and Florida. Yeah, maybe. If it's a big night for Harris and this thing all breaks her way, yeah, maybe. But it seems equally likely.
I mean, see, the Texas thing, I was just down in Houston, and there were, we're not in a swing state right now, so I was seeing ads that I had not seen, the abortion issue, very big, Colin Allred ads, Ted Cruz ads, very nasty, but it's hard for me to believe that if that state goes red, that Colin Allred is going to win that Senate race.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Well, if you think Oliver's going to win?
No, I don't. That's my point. No.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And you know what? The Democrats think someday they'll carry Texas, and someday they will. But it probably won't be this year. It's not going to be this year in the president's race. And Allred, look, if you're John Cornyn or John Thune or one of these Republicans who wants to be the next Senate Majority Leader, you don't need Ted Cruz to win by 5 points. You need him to win by 1 point or half a point.
Yep, you just need the majority. One final question. I don't have a lot of time here, but I just feel like heads are going to explode next week if Trump wins, not only for a good portion of the American people who have Trump derangement syndrome, but our friends in the media who have had interesting reactions. I don't know what your thoughts are on the Jeff Bezos op-ed, but I'm concerned for some of my friends on the other side, Carl. I will say that.
Yeah, I grew up in the mainstream media, and I still have so many friends there, and I've subscribed to the Washington Post for decades. My head won't explode. I would urge people to get a grip, you know, and the other side,
the
too.
Republic the will survive,
side,
right?
Well, I think so. And I wrote this earlier this week, you know, yes, the losing side has to accept that they lost, but the winning side shouldn't overinterpret their mandate. If we have a close election, we need some adults in the room after this is over.
Well, good luck with that. I mean, that might be a little hard.
Hope springs eternal, my friend.
I know. Well, look, we're going to know soon enough, hopefully. Carl Cannon, thank you for all the contributions here the past few months. It's finally getting down to maybe some results. Again, they may not happen on Tuesday, but hopefully a week from now we're going to know something. But enjoy the last final days here, Carl. We'll talk again soon.
Happy Halloween,
all right,
my friend.
Take care. That's Carl Cannon from Real Clear Politics. We're going to get into Wisconsin in particular. My friend Dan O'Donnell at WISN Radio will join us after Sue's News coming up. Scott Jennings at 5:07.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.